Fun Ideas Productions presents the Fun Ideas Podcast.
I'm having so much more fun now. I have let them show me how to live their way.
Hi, this is Mark Arnold, and welcome to Fun Ideas Podcast number 251. I will be at the Mid-Valley Comic Art Expo in Salem, Oregon on April 20th and 21st, and Shortbox Live in San Jose, California on May 5th, signing copies of my new Turtles book and new Mad books. The Fun Ideas Podcast is brought to you in part by Freaky Magazine. I contribute material to every issue, so give it a try.
Hey kids, have you read Freaky? The magazine of weird humor for freaks like you. Freaky Magazine is a way-out collection of weirdo comics, kooky gags, photo funnies, social satire, and surreal collage. 52 pages of insanity in the tradition of magazines of yore like Cracked, Plop, and Zap. Special offer for Fun Ideas listeners, get a free sample copy in the mail. Made of smelly newsprint and smudgy ink the old-fashioned way. Just message your mailing address to theslowpoisoner@gmail.com. That's theslowpoisoner@gmail.com while supplies last.
You remember them from your childhood. Casper the Friendly Ghost, Richie Rich, Hot Fuzz, Baby Huey, Sad Sack and Little Audrey. You read them in comic books and saw them on television and in the movies. Now you can read about how they and other Harvey comic characters were created in two great books from Mark Arnold and Fun Ideas Productions, The Best of Harveyville Fun Times and The Harvey Comic Companion. Both are available from Amazon. The Companion is also available from Bear Manor Media. They are available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook versions. Order your copies today.
Friends, have you tried Lee's Comics? Lee's Comics is better than the leading comic book store. Wait a minute. Lee's Comics is the leading comic book store. Based on arbitrary standards set by Lee Hester himself.
Lee's Comics was named as one of the 21 best online dealers by PopOptique.com. To shop the Lee's Comics eBay store, go to eBay and search for Lee's Comics, Inc. That's LEESCOMICSINC, period. Don't forget the period. Mention the Fun Ideas Podcast when you order, and you'll receive a free bonus gift.
Hey, hey, it's Charles Rosenay from the Monkees Interview Show here on Monkey Mania Radio. So proud to announce the release of a brand new book called Not Just Happy Together, The Turtles from A to Z. That's right, the other band besides our Monkees who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, The Turtles, a great new book that's a discography. It's got interviews, it's got reviews, it's got everything you might want to read about. If you're a 60s fan like I am and love the Beatles and the Monkees and the Turtles, Not Just Happy Together has a front cover and a back cover by Henry Diltz, a foreword by Gary Puckett, and it's published by Genius Music Books, an imprint of Genius Book Publishing, now available from www.notjusthappytogether.com. Hope you pick it up. I know you're going to love it and enjoy all the stuff about the Turtles. Thank you for listening to Monkey Mania Radio. Hey, hey.
In Fun Ideas Productions news, Not Just Happy Together, The Turtles from A to Z, AM Radio to Zappa, is now available from Genius Publishing. You can order directly from geniusbookpublishing.com or from Amazon. Stars of Walt Disney Productions and Pac-Man, the first animated TV show based upon a video game, and the revised and updated Looking for the Good Times Monkees book are all still available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through Bear Manor Media. Unconditionally Mad is still being formatted and should see publication in 2024. I'm currently working on an article about Mr. Weatherby and my TV animation book and another Monkeys book and a book on Marvel's Crazy Magazine. More on these later. On today's show, we have two returning guests to discuss what's happening in the world of animation. Here they are, Camden Spees and Strum, Part 2.
Hi, this is Mark Arnold with another episode of Fun Ideas Podcast. I have two returning guests. One is Camden Spees, and the other is Strum. And today we're going to talk animation. We've done this before, but it's a new year, and want to see what's going on in the world of animation in 2020.
Snoopy is populating, like, in Japan. I don't know if you've heard about the Peanuts exhibit in Japan, Mark. The Peanuts Museum.
They call it Snoopy Comic in Japan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The reason, you know why they have that? You know why they have that exhibit? That was supposed to be a traveling exhibit, but I got so popular, they just left everything there. They just kept it as a sequel. They had nothing to do. It was making them so much money that they couldn't top it.
Yeah. Well, at least
the museum needed the profit, so they just left it.
I figured this out, is that Japanese audiences really like pantomime. They really like pantomime stuff for children. Like, they like
what,
that.
What did Don Ariello say? Don Ariello said the Japanese only like characters in black and white, which is Mickey Mouse, Felix the Cat, and Snoopy.
Well, I think that might be a part of it. I don't think it's a big part, but they also like Pingu a lot, who's also black and white and orange.
Yeah, well, they also like characters that lend themselves being logos, I noticed. Hello Kitty's kind of a logo.
Yeah, they do a lot of merchandising, which makes sense.
Yeah, so.
I love the what is that country that has the Garfield ripoff and how, like, he is, like, hated to the point to where, like, there are national statues of him being poured out and destroyed in the streets.
Is this the United States with the popular character Heathcliff?
No. He's gotten in trouble for stealing from Watterson, Heathcliff. They actually called him Crazy Cat in the United States because they didn't know what to call him.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
I don't know either. I think it's like Don Cantorio.
It's not Bill the Cat, is it?
No, but he stole from him too.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And it's such a national plagiarist that literally, it is like the most graffiti statue in whatever country it comes from. It is like a national terror. Hmm. They had to take it down because it was such a threat.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, Mark?
Yes.
You had other sets you were in the show.
Did I? Oh, well, I showed various things at various times. I don't know. I showed the Woody Woodpecker one at one point there.
Yeah. I have two set. I have two copies of that.
You want to send me the other one?
No.
Is there a chance of a second series of this one, or, you know, because I know
I would not say so. I honestly don't think so, especially because it's been a little while since then.
Okay.
What I do think is possible is that there could be.
Argon accidentally sent me two.
I think they might do. I think they might issue Lance cartoons on Blu-ray again. I don't think so though, because they are doing new HD masters of those really terrible ones from the 60s and 70s that you see on HD.
Mark, you and I were talking about this a while back. You know that Universal article, Mark. You and I remember when you were talking about Universal's restoration plan.
Yeah.
For NBC Universal, they were saying the classic cartoons, and they didn't mention Rocky and Bullwinkle. They didn't mention, or this Strum, or was this you and I talking about this?
Felix is out of the question. I don't think they're ever. They did mention
Harvey. No, but they said they're restoring all the classic cartoons, which was He-Man, Woody Woodpecker,
He-Man,
Mr. Magoo, and only the television ones. I point out.
Hmm. So it's the classic media stuff, in other words.
Classic media stuff, but classic not media including and Rocky those terrible Lance cartoons. Own, not including Rocky.
I'm going to keep shoving that down the throat. The terrible Lance cartoons.
What is it again?
Anyway. You see the most beautiful looking ones because they get all their prints from all over the place when they air them on MeTV. Yeah. But the best looking ones are always the terrible ones.
Mm. Yeah, about 3/4 of Lance cartoons are all bad.
I would say half actually, but that also includes the black and whites, and like half of those are just so forgettable. Jesus, like even the Oswalds at some point become really forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Oswalds are good. The early Oswald Lance cartoons are really good, though.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think I actually like the 1950s I actually like a few of I like I actually like all of the 1950s shorts, but I really like a short like Termites from Mars. Termites from, I'm like, you know, people only give credit
Tom to Patterson was a great director at Lance. He and Cole Haim were the best directors, followed by Lundy.
To people only give credit to the 1940s Lance cartoons, but look at like Termites from Mars. Well,
There's some good ones in the 50s, even
yeah,
a
yeah,
couple
there's
good
ones
in
the
60s.
Some of the best Lance cartoons, they always label the 40s, but Termites from Mars, yeah. Crazy Mixed Up Pup.
I mean, some of them are on here. Some of them are on here, you know. They're
yeah, I know.
Yeah. So
now the bird that came to dinner is a bad cartoon that's on there.
I think you know what I think. I think the
that's
I think,
a better cartoon. I think that's a better cartoon than a lot of the other ones. Would you agree with that, Strom?
Which one?
The bird that came to dinner, the one with the giant kid. That's a better cartoon than a lot of the
I
other
ones. I wish they put. I wish they
era.
Put For the Love of Pizza, where Miss Meanie almost drowns her grandma. They aired that one on MeTV.
Wait, what?
Yeah, wait, what? Yeah. There's one called For the Love of Pizza that's sort of like it's the thing that always was consistent, even in those lamer days, was that Woody was always a big jerk and an asshole.
Yeah.
And there's just it's just this one where he exploits the fact that the grandma likes him because he's seen Woody on TV. That he tells him that he tells her that the dam's breaking, so she runs up a telephone pole and he tries to pretend to be grandma. Miss Meanie learns. But he keeps heckling her and then eventually tells Grandma to go hide in the case. And then Miss Meanie thinks that Woody is in the case and she froze it into a river. So Miss Meanie has to jump inside and go save her while Woody eats the pizza that Miss Meanie was going to bring to her grandma, which isn't even drawn like a pizza, it's drawn like an actual pie.
Now I must ask, what is the cartoon with the bat? The Woody Woodpecker cartoon with the bat? You know, it's like the parody. It was in the Halloween special too.
Spooky Nanny.
Yeah, it was in the Halloween special. Yeah, but it's the bat where it was like the radio show and he took the medicine to make him stronger.
Is that Under the Counter Spy?
Yes, that's the one.
That's on that Blu-ray.
I love that cartoon.
That's another good one. I think, you know, I mean, the 60s Lance is pretty bad, but there's Sid Marcus, and Sid Marcus did actually surprisingly...
But that's not from the 60s, that's from the 50s, isn't it?
Well, Sid Marcus did cartoons in the 60s, but yeah, Under the Counter Spy is a 53-54 entry.
Yeah. Mark, did you see that that Todd Fetterman found in the Animation Art Hall of Fakes, found fake Barry Family art?
You know, why? You know what I think? You want to know why I think they made so many of those? They made almost 30 of them.
Wait, they made 30 of them?
They made like 30 of them. I think they made them because they were going to go use them for TV. It was originally going to be a TV show. But that was when they were going to have a goose that was Charlie Bear's foil. And that those cartoons are actually okay.
No, they're not. They're all bad.
Well, no,
cartoons are probably the worst cartoons ever made.
I agree that most of them are terrible, but the very early ones where they have that goose.
Well, you're being kind. You're being very kind.
If I showed you the one with the goose, I think you'd actually agree because they're actually a little stupid, but
no,
I
know what the ones you're talking about. Like the one with the goose where he's like, everyone involves the goose or it involves Charlie running away from his mother-in-law, Charlie's wife beating him.
Yeah, they gave Gracie Lance a lot of misogynist wives to play.
I like that.
But I think they made those for... with the intention of using them for a TV package in 1986.
Who are these cartoons for? What character? What kid is watching this? Like, oh yeah, mother-in-law jokes.
The very funny thing.
I love
there was
those.
A very family TV show offered in 1987. Yes, and it was a secondary package of the Lamer Lance cartoons, and USA was airing the good package.
That's what MeTV should air, the Lamer Lance cartoons.
But you know what's funny though? I've never seen that package. I don't even think that many people bought it, but I bet they had to do new opening animation to sell the Barry Family Show,
probably.
Which I would love to see.
Have you know the story about Lance for when he won his Oscar?
No, I
Lance.
Not.
Lance had to supervise the animation for Woody Woodpecker presenting his Oscar.
Oh yeah,
I think Virgil Ross animated that. Who was at Lance in the final days, and he was also there in the 30s. So it was. I mean, I think Lance's secretary basically had to tell anyone else who wanted a job there, like Mark Hauser, that they have to wait for the men to die. And you know what that means? We would have had Paul J. Smith cartoons until 1980. And he was already legally blind by 1967. His daughter was doing everything for him.
Wow.
That's the craziest part about Paul J. Smith. By like the last 6 years of him directing cartoons, he'd gone legally blind, and everything had to be done by his daughter.
Wow. I never knew that.
I never knew most of the stuff. I never knew most of the stuff said today.
All right. Switching gears a little bit. Okay.
Wait, hold on. I want to show one thing.
Oh, more.
Where is that? There we go. Right here. There we go. Right here. Fake Barry family art right here.
Fake Barry family.
All right. Let's see.
It looks like Muskie.
I can't. If you can send me that image, I wonder if that could have been made for that Barry family show, because they would have had to have done new animation for the opening.
It might be.
So here, send it to me.
It doesn't look that bad, actually, considering.
Well, if I can prove Todd does this for a living, so.
Hmm.
Well, I'll send it to you, Strom.
Okay.
Yeah, if you send it to me, if I can prove that it's not directly riffed from a cartoon, I'll see.
Yeah, here's another one from the same seller. This is why he thinks this. Look at this.
Okay. So yeah, that is a fake.
Yeah.
All right. So it might be the case, but I think it's just crazy that they sold all the Lamer Lambs cartoons under Barry Family.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, I always think of those like really dull music tracks that those later Lances have with the really bad trombone. As if it's being played out of the guy's limpy penis, which I think describes all the old men making those cartoons.
Limpy penis. it's a new Lance character.
Well, he did animate on Ever Ready Horde and Buried Treasure. So it wouldn't be the out of line.
All right, I'm switching gears at that point after Limpy Penis. Okay. So this came out on Blu-ray. We've talked about it before. People have talked about it. What's the status of Man Called Flintstone?
I don't know.
But
I don't
Man Called Flintstone's already been released.
I think they're going to do it.
Not on
Blu-ray. I think
they've already done it. Yeah, they did. I have it right on my shelf. They released it on the Flintstones Blu-ray collection. The box set, yeah.
So they put the Columbia titles back on here.
No, they didn't.
No, they did on that. They did on.
They did. No, they did on this. Yes, they did put the Columbia title back on this.
Not on the Flintstones one. No.
Yeah, because I was hoping they would.
So it's a bonus feature, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's out of the. I don't think it could be out of the question for it to eventually be a Warner Archive release. But I think that's why they didn't do it immediately, because it is a bonus feature.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I had to guess,
Yelp had to do a whole post the other day about why Quick Draw McGraw will not be on Blu-ray.
Quick Draw McGraw could be on Blu-ray in a million years.
Now, here's the cartoon that I'd like on Blu-ray. I don't understand the purpose of putting the Superstars 10 on Blu-ray. Why not put Top Cat on Blu-ray?
I think that'll happen, but I wonder if the materials are in a bit of disarray at the moment.
Yeah.
Why the Superstars 10? Who is this for?
So Feldstein explained that they didn't have enough to do like a whole month. They still were just preparing. They didn't have a good sense of variety for February, so they just decided to go put those out, is what I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Top Cat will happen, but I think it's just taken well because those early HB shows do have a bit of disarray with the masters.
I mean, I get why they don't put Yogi Bear out. I get why they don't put all the
Huckleberry Hounds out. Well, they could put Yogi
Bear
back out.
Top Cat seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Actually, they have one Yogi Bear show episode as a bonus on here.
They did the Yogi Bears in HD. It's on HBO Max.
Yogi's birthday party. Anyway,
I'd love for them to put out like all the HD Yogi Bears, because they have every HD Yogi Bear cartoon in HD restored. But I understand that they probably wouldn't do that also, because I can just see the shitstorm they would get for doing that. Because the minute they do that, someone says, "You didn't put Huckleberry Hound out. Go to hell, you bastards," or something like that.
I think they might throw
a shitstorm and probably burn up the Warner Brothers lot.
But yeah, I think they will eventually do Top Cat and the Yogi Bear show. And then I think eventually they may clear rights to do Quick Draw. I know that Feldstein is trying to clear up more mountains, and he's trying to do a lot more.
Well, isn't it more on Quick Draw? Isn't it more besides the music rights and everything? Isn't it more because of the guns?
You know what I don't understand about the music rights?
No, that's not an issue. But I can tell you that I can't remember his last name. Earl Kress. Earl Kress looked into the Quick Draw Masters, and they were the most disorganized out of any of the HB shows. He couldn't even find some of those episodes complete in color.
Mark, do you have Earl's HB set? Do you have Earl's HB music?
Yeah, I do. CDs? I thought you were talking about DVD. Okay.
Yeah, but you know where I got mine?
Hmm.
From Earl Kress's wife. I have Earl's copy.
Oh, okay.
That's very sweet of her. I appreciate that she really...
everyone who wanted one, she had three boxes of them. I'm sure she has more. If you asked her,
well, I have one because I bought it when it came out.
No, I'm talking about him.
All right. I might have to look inside, even though the HB stuff isn't my favorite, but I appreciate, again, that Earl's wife is very devoted to her late husband's legacy and still helping researchers. Like, I know she's helped Don Yalp with some of his
posts. She gave all of Earl's files went to Don. All of them.
I think that was the right thing to do. Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I guess when
Earl was alive, the Asifa Hollywood archives was still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll understand, Mark. I will discuss the ear codes with you later.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're talking about because I met Mr. Kress many times. I do miss him. Anyway.
I agree with one thing Mark Halsler said is that the only reason to really read those Looney Tunes comic books was for Dave Alvarez's art and Earl Kress's writing, and half of that's gone now. And Dave only contributes semi-regularly. Like, I know he's doing one for one of the new ones.
He left entirely years ago.
He's doing one small thing for them in a recent one, but yeah, he returns every now and then for like one small thing, but that's it.
Yeah,
but you know what I hate about those comic books? You know what I hate about those comic books? Is I grew up with those comic books. Mark Strum, I've probably sent you 18 different, not even 18, I probably send you 55 different photos with the same comic book rack I have on my shelf, because I'm really proud of it.
I like that.
I love my comic book rack, and there's three different rows with those comic books. Problem with those comic books I have is is I stopped buying them in about 2015, because after a while it was just publicizing the other DC stuff that I didn't care about.
Even then, the new stories, they're mostly just using Trace.
You know what's sad? Now they're doing those in the superhero comics too. And I found out, by the way, Mark?
Yeah.
You know that there's a certificate of authenticity with comic books now?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is? That. You knew that?
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
It's all just marketing stuff. It's a lost leader thing. It's all for variant covers. Nobody cares about stories anymore. I mean, the only reason to get I subscribe to Looney Tunes, and the only reason I do is just to keep up with it. Even though it's mainly reprint, I like it that it's on glossy paper instead of newsprint like it was originally. But I think they've reprinted every story since at this point.
I subscribe to four magazines: Abbott and Costello Quarterly, Laurel and Hardy Magazine, Hogan's Alley, and Three Shooters Journal, and the Jack Benny.
I don't get any magazines at this point.
I got way too many magazines. I don't subscribe to all of them. You don't get Nostalgia Digest, Camden? That seems like something you'd get.
No, anyway. Okay. Nostalgia, I think, is a disease.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, they could call it Leprosy Digest if it had something interesting.
Leprosy is probably healthier than Nostalgia.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not talking about the title. It's subjects you like.
Camden, do you have leprosy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But
considering you're nostalgic for cartoons, and if you had leprosy, you'd be the sickest man alive.
All right. Well, I think we touched on this at the beginning. So is Disney doing more of these? I forgot what
I don't
saying.
I know. I think those were just
Again,
for
the
Disney
idea
100.
Of spending $2 for a cartoon just doesn't
I'm not talking about prices and everything. You're playing whatever you paid for Flip the Frog that I already have. Anyway.
Okay, so I think they just did those for Disney 100. I don't think they're going to do a volume 3.
Okay.
But I do think that they will explore more of the features going forward for 4K and Blu-ray, which would be nice because that would be new masters. And they look very damn good. Like, they've been doing new stuff that looked damn good. They did
We haven't even discussed our thoughts on the Flip the Card cartoons. We talked about we like the step, but we didn't talk about our thoughts on the cartoons. Remember when we discussed this?
Yeah, okay. sell me on this. Even though
we're not going to sell you on Flip the Frog because both of us have an opinion on Flip the Frog, And I think that right now, I think this is a hype for Flip the Frog. But I don't think that they're as great as people are currently saying they are.
Okay, I'll give my thoughts on that in a moment. But I think that buying them for the bonuses and the devotion of love that went into it makes it completely worth it.
Bonuses so, bonuses are a selling point. I will give it that, you know.
And that's why it's have it right
Mark,
to me,
Mark.
Have,
oh, there's about a thousand different
this is in
rare...
color in it. This is in color in it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
The Flippy Mark animal is in it, and it looks damn nice.
And like I said, I didn't say I wasn't buying it. It's just not the
I
top
have to
of
say
my list.
From I have to say, Strom, there's some not language in that annual that startled the crap out of me.
Yeah, this is. I think it has a bit more than what may have been in there. There may have been like one or two that weren't in there, but I think it was complete.
Yeah. There are some racial slurs in that annual that startled the crap out of me. I was not expecting it. Not expecting it at all.
I've also seen similar in Mickey Mouse annuals.
I've seen the similars in Mickey Mouse annuals, and
oh boy.
Yeah, words that if we repeat right now, we're all going to like get fired.
Nobody's censoring me, but it doesn't look good. Anyway,
I think in terms of the cartoons themselves, is that right after the whole music novelty idea of it dies out, they feel very substandard.
Yeah.
Grim Napwick does a lot of interesting artwork on them, and there's a lot of really spicy gags, but there isn't anything else like. You could get those spicy gags in other cartoons, like Van Buren, which are a bit crappier, but they feel like so crappy that it's more amusing. Or you can get sort of the same feeling at other studios.
The Flip cartoons, that there are some that are better than others. I like the cartoon Room Runners.
Yeah, Room Runners is the very exceptional one. So is Funny Face, which has good stories.
Funny Face, Room Runners. Mm-hmm. I like the word Flying Fist is another one I really like.
I like Phony Express.
Phony Express.
I tend to like the later ones of Memory Service.
I like
where he looks less like a frog and more like a person. Yeah.
I like the middle ones where he looks less like a frog, but the gags are more risque.
Yeah. The first Willy Whopper design was going to be a humanized Flip.
Hmm.
Yeah, that is weird. Those designs are almost disturbing.
at least Flip would have looked normal with everyone else if they did that.
All right. Let's just say that we're time travelers and we accidentally turned a chair. We come back to the future and there was a human Flip the Frog. I'm all Ray Bradburying right now, but so what the hell kind of idea is a human Flip the Frog? Just make another character. Those are the weirdest
Willy Whopper
I've ever seen in my life.
I'll tell you that MGM was making Flip more human and human. I think they wanted something that was like Mickey but not Mickey, which is again why
But every cartoon character is human doing so. I mean, like Mickey Mouse is a 6 foot tall rodent, but somehow he's just also basically a human being.
And then even if Mickey is a humanized rodent, he is not taller than you. Calm down. You're going to have nightmares of a taller Mickey Mouse now. He's probably 5'5".
That's true. I saw Fantasia. Stokowski had to lean over.
Yeah, he's probably like 4'11". You know what? He's probably 4'3".
3 feet tall.
He's probably as tall as Beetlejuice.
3 feet tall.
He's probably as tall as the Howard Stern Beetlejuice.
Okay. All right. Both Strum and Camden, and don't speak at the same time if you can help it. Other than Flip the Frog, because you've already sold me on it, what are the best Thunderbean Blu-rays to get right now? Or
you
coming soon? Camden. Coming soon. Okay.
Well, I start?
Yeah.
Right now by Mid-Century Modern, Volumes 1 and 2.
Okay.
Stop Motion Marvels. If you're into that kind of thing, like early Kinex films.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would say Coltoons. Those audio, but well, you probably already have Coltoons. You probably already have the DVDs of those.
Well, I have
you?
It on DVD, but I mean,
a
reason to
DVD.
Upgrade
I'm...
it to Blu-ray. You know, I have all three of those. Yeah,
okay.
Upgrade it to Blu-ray. I don't know if the content's any different, but upgrade it to Blu-ray for sure. But
okay,
yeah, that's what I would suggest.
And strong, yeah.
I would suggest Mid-Century Modern Volume 3 is about to come out. That's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. Mid-Century Modern Volume 2, I believe, is out of print, but should be in print back soon. Mid-Century Volume 1 is in print. You can get that. I would also implore to go get Willy Whopper, since that is a good companion with Flip the Frog.
Okay.
And in terms
Mark,
of
you probably already have Willy Whopper, do you?
I'm not sure. I know I have the Flip the Frog DVD, but I'm not
Willy
sure.
Willy Whopper was those boxes early behind Blu-ray you for them.
I don't have the Willy Whopper Blu-ray. No.
All right.
So. All right. I know what it looks like. Would, yeah.
In terms of pre-orders, I would recommend Lou Bunnen because those are interesting films, and I would recommend the Coltoons one because that's going to be a lot of fun.
Lou Bunnen either.
Lou Bunnen was never DVD.
I haven't pre-ordered Lou Bunnen because I'm going to wait until it actually gets closer and closer. Like, I always look at that schedule, and once you can see it's like a month ahead of time, then I'll pre-order something because I don't want to pre-order something so late and just spend all that money
I get
so
it.
Quickly.
I know that Steve is trying to push for a monthly schedule. This month, last month was Tom and Jerry. This month's going to be Mid-Century Modern. Mm-hmm. And he wants next month to be Rainbow Parade's Volume 2. And I don't know. Betty Boop, I think it's like a half special set, half official. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, Mark, do you have the Betty Boop collections, the Blu-rays?
I only have the olive ones. I don't have the...
I mean, Steve,
if you buy the Betty Boop, other Betty Boops, all of those are just the other Betty Boops, not on Blu-ray.
Right. I know that. I just have, it's on my list.
I think those are also good ones. Like the one that Steve already has out, it has the formerly lost Honest Love and True, which is pretty nice to see.
Yeah.
Which one? Strom, how do you know which one is Honest Love and True? That's an honest question.
Because it's the best of the melodramas. it's the best of the melodramas. It has Jack Mercer. It doesn't.
Mark, you and I are looking at the same look.
It just. I also recently. I'll show it on camera.
Okay.
This is a 1950s MTA catalog. UMM MTA. The guys who bought the Paramount shorts. I have read through this, and it's from the birth of the library. They were selling all of the Betty Boops except the ones that they did not have, and Honest Love and True was not one of them.
I got another Blu-ray set that's coming out, I think. What about the Mr. Bug Goes to Town thing?
Oh yeah,
Kino. I don't know.
Isn't Greg doing some kind of cartoon commercial thing for Kino, Mark?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Greg Ford in a while. I need to give him a call. the last time I talked to him was when we did the last commentaries, and that was, 2019.
Oh, that's
I think.
Another.
Yeah.
Mark, that's another set you like. If you're really into animated commercials, I'm sure you already have the first volume of cartoon commercials by sending the DVD. There's a sequel out. It's like $14, $13.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, yeah. I'm going through my thing again, but yeah, they do not list.
That's the good thing about Thunderbeat sets, Mark. After about everything is $15.
Yeah. Also, the one exception is that the first Stone Age cartoon was being listed, but it's turned out lost. But I'm
those
actually
cartoons
glad
are bad.
But here's the thing: this lost one sounds like the worst one. Take a guess at what could be worse than any of the other ones.
I don't remember any of them.
Stone
That's
Age
the bad
cartoon.
Part.
Was about office work in the Stone Age.
God. I have to say, you know what the worst cartoon series is? I hate Gabby.
The Gabbies, they have a terrible character, but they have better production values than those black and white.
All right. Which is worse? Gabby or the Barry family?
Oh, Barry family, by far. I mean, Gabby, at least,
we gotta figure out what the worst series of all.
Gabby, you only have to wish for the death of one character. The Barry family, you gotta wish for the death of all of them.
Okay, Barry family and Molly Moo Cow.
Oh, Molly Moo Cow, because Molly Moo Cow's got great animation.
Worse than Barry family?
Molly Moo Cow got drunk
no,
in
no,
her
Molly, No, Molly Moo Cow is better than Barry family, by far.
Oh,
better than
okay.
Gabby.
Oh, okay. All right.
So in terms of the very worst,
there's nothing worse than the Barry family. Is the Barry family the worst series?
No, Barry family
theatrical.
Is not the worst.
I'm going to go give theatrical.
Yes.
There's a few that I could list. One I think would be Buddy. One would be Crazy Cat after 1935. The other would be Casper. The other would be 50s Popeye. And then I would say probably...
Really? Wow, I like some 50s Popeye.
50s Popeyes are bad, Mark. You know they're bad. You just don't want to admit they're
there's
bad.
There's a few that are. They're
bad. Like in the, they're bad.
Mark, you know they're awful. You just grew up with them.
Hey, you're talking to somebody who likes the 60s right. King Features ones.
So. Right, so I like the 60s King Features ones too. Okay. I just don't like the 50s Popeye ones.
I would also say the White Oswald cartoons, and then I would say around the board, everyone starts stucking around 1959.
Everyone starts stucking?
Sucking.
Norma still exists.
What about Lupe de Loop?
Everyone starts
what about
sucking,
Lupe de Loopy de Loop.
Loopy de Loop is awful.
And if you watch Loopy de Loop all the time, you don't have to deny it.
I have seen the whole series front to back. I will fully admit I have the DVD. I watched the whole series from start to finish.
I have,
and I have to say they're not good.
Once, but
yeah. I had to vomit thinking of doing that. Ugh. Even I wouldn't dare to buy that.
What?
I bought it.
Loopy de Loop?
Yes.
Loopy de Loop is better than Crazy Legs Crane, all right?
Oh, by far.
Okay, here we go. Which is worse, Crazy Legs Crane or Barry Family?
We're comparing shit to diarrhea.
Oh, man. Well, I would say Barry Family is worse only because I don't get to hear Jerry Beck complaining about them.
Not yet. They could put those out on Blu-ray.
You know,
and Jerry
right.
Beck can do commentaries on those.
If Jerry manages to watch this, Jerry, I want you to do a world's worst cartoon show and put an episode of Barry Family, an episode of
the world's worst cartoon
Crazy
show.
Crazy Legs Crane. You got to pick one of all these bad ones.
Oh, if we're
going to
pick the worst cartoon series ever, there's anything by Cambria Studios. It's bad.
Three Stooges? Oh.
besides the Three Stooges, I like those Three Stooges cartoons. I am one of our mutual friends, Alice Savage. Alice Savage and I frequently talk about how one of our personal guilty pleasures is the Three Stooges cartoons. We just
love Alice. Alice is the friend who watched the Hobo Hero while she was high.
Yeah. she and I both have this guilty pleasure of the Three Stooges cartoons. And I gotta say, I know it's a dirty word, but I like Curly, and I like Curly Joe, and I like Joe Besser. They're not Shemp or Curly, but I mean, I don't hate them.
You know what? He at least brought civility, and
I think Curly Joe Besser got the bad rap because Joe Besser had his own style, and I think Joe Besser also got the bad rap because every short that he was in. Was a remake of another short.
Yeah, they used lots of recycled
footage. I mean, even if it was any other guy, it would have been remakes either way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think
Joe Palma's
bad rap.
Joe Palma's the worst Third Stooge, all right?
I think Curly Joe DeRita also gets a bad rap. I don't think Curly Joe DeRita gets as bad of a rap. I don't think either of them get as bad of the rap as they used to.
Yeah.
But well, I don't think anyone gets as bad of a rap as they used to. I think that
my feeling about
rap.
Curly Joe. Okay, Curly Joe is the right man for the right time.
I agree.
If he was with the group in the 30s or 40s, he was suck balls more than what they say in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Because by the 60s, they were old men. And they were acting old too. So they needed to kind of tone it down. It wasn't because of everybody saying, "Oh, the violence." Well,
I think that was part of the violence.
You don't need to tone that down.
What?
I think that was part of why they did the cartoons.
What helped on the Curly Joe ones? I will defend Curly Joe. I don't think he's the best Stooge, but for what they did, I think Hercules and Around the World
Hercules
in the Days,
great.
Those two movies, Around the World in the Days and Hercules, solid stories. The gags aren't the traditional, they're just, verbal or, you know, other types of gags. Some good special effects, actually, considering the budget. Yeah. You know,
I love Hercules.
I think that Three Stooges movie they did like 10 years ago that I think gets a really bad rep is decent.
Which one?
I think it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
I think
it at least has the right spirit in terms. I mean, it wouldn't. I don't think they would have done it better.
Are you talking about the one where you see Curly at his deathbed? Yeah. Are you talking about the one where you see Mo at his deathbed or Curly?
The problem with that the Farrelly Brothers Three Stooges is that they're all too tall. And it's really a bad move when Larry David is the funniest person in the movie. He was the
well,
nut.
We just saw it. Was... Larry David was just the funniest movie, funniest person in the movie called The Today Show.
Actually, I was rooting him on.
Today Show, you have no competition.
Today Show, I mean, again, he should have finished the job.
What, set him on fire?
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen funnier. That? On YouTube, go Tickle Me Elmo on fire. It's the funniest shit you'll ever see. So anyway, what else can we talk about?
Like, think about it this way. Like,
we're talking about terrible cartoons. I think we've talked enough.
I know. That's why I said, what else can we talk about? Not terrible. Okay. Okay. We mentioned.
I got one for you, for you, Strum, and you, Mark. Would you guys rather watch the worst Hanna-Barbera cartoon imaginable? Think of a picture of the worst 1980s. Dragon Slayer level Hanna-Barbera cartoon or Clutch Cargo?
Clutch Cargo. In fact, one day
Clutch Cargo bothers me. It bugs me to watch it. It makes me
weird. Oh, it did
weird.
Me too. When a kid, as a kid, it gave me nightmares.
I would have like, here's the only cartoon that I ever saw that gave me nightmares as a kid. You know what it is? John Cristofolusi's Jetsons cartoon. You know what gave me nightmares about the Jetsons cartoon? It's not that they replaced Elroy and they somehow he just disappears. We don't know what happened to him. Was he killed? What was that? It was that scene where George just slaps him, where blood's going out of his nose.
Yeah.
That scared the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of funny. When Ren and Stimpy came on the air, I actually was a hugest fan of that. And then nowadays, and it has... honestly, little or nothing to do with what came out about Cristofolusi. It has more to do with, I think, just my own tastes.
And it's so sluggish.
And as I've gotten older, I can't stand watching it.
You were talking to two people. You were talking to the only two people who just don't like Ren and Stimpy. Nothing to do with John K. We just don't like Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
You know they're bringing that show back.
I never found any of John Cristofolusi's stuff, good.
And
you know the Joe Barbera story about Cristofolusi? Barbera one time literally said about Cristofolusi, I think in a magazine, he's like, it's like watching your children die.
He said that about Boo Boo Runs Wild. He said it's like watching your children get stolen from you and molested.
No.
Which is saying he knew a lot about his time at Hanna-Barbera.
It's like watching your children get set on fire to death. Like that.
I think it was the molested part, but he'd know a lot about that from his own time.
You know what kind of soured me on Ren and Stimpy, strangely enough? It wasn't Cristofolusi himself. It was Tad's book.
Tad's?
You know, Kamarowski's book.
Little Monkeys.
Yeah. It's like, and it's nothing to do, well, it might have something to do with him, but, you know, it's like.
All the terrible work stories. Every episode has a different story behind it.
It just made me kind of realize, you know, like I bought it because I thought, oh, I love the show, it's great, blah 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 blah, and then reading through it I go, what an awful ordeal putting that show together. It doesn't seem like it was really very fun for the people, and this is like I said, before any of the real shit came out, and it's like,
right, and
you know,
and I was like,
why do I like this? And then, you know, the things that John K put out afterwards, like the adult version of it and then Ripping Friends and all the other things that he did, it's like it was all just disgusting. And I go, is it just me getting older and more sensitive, or is it just
I'm tired of it. You know what's crazy though? They're bringing back Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, but
you know what's weird though? Also,
it looks lifeless. You know, it looks absolutely lifeless. And you know what?
I think it doesn't have that mental pizzazz
that created the original show.
I can't say any of this because I'm not an expert about this kind of thing. But I think that Fad's book might have opened the doors for people to feel more comfortable about admitting what Cristofolusi did later.
Maybe
I certainly think that's part of the case.
Yeah. I think that there are parts of Fad's book that as a whole, I think that did a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's horror stories both production wise and about Cristofolusi that I don't know would have been shared if it hadn't been for Fad.
Yeah,
I think that kind of stuff.
John K kept making fun of Fad, and he drew these ridiculously terrible caricatures of him without barely even knowing what he.
If you want to hear something funny, you want to see something funny, look up, you go to Fad's Facebook page, and just search up Eddie Fitzgerald's comments about his book. they're the most. I think Fitzgerald's creepier than that than John Kay.
Mm-hmm. He did at least one good cartoon. He did the Tales of Warm Paranoia that I thought was pretty decent. The one decent.
You know what turned me off more about John Kay? It was before I even heard about Ren and Stimpy. It was like watching those Looney Tunes commentaries, and I'm like, this guy's just obnoxious.
Oh yeah,
let Bill Melendez talk.
I used to imitate all the different people doing commentaries on the Gold Collections. You probably never heard me do this, and it's been years. It's been years, so I can't remember all of them. But I said, "Here's John Cristofalusi." Ooh! Oh my God! Look at that! For 7 minutes, and it's like, and everybody had their own style. Hi, this is Michael Burrier. And here's
I like Michael Barry's commentaries a lot. I like
it, but they all have their own style. And then, hi, this is Jerry Beck, and we're going to be watching blah, blah, blah. I have to listen to all the other, oh, this is Greg Ford, and I don't, I'm going to be.
Now do Will Friedwald.
I'm going to have an interview with Friz Freleng. And sorry, Greg, I have to do this interview with Friz Freleng. And here's what Friz had to say about this cartoon.
Now do Milk Gray and now do Wilfred.
I don't remember. See, that's the thing. I have to listen to him again. I haven't done it in a while, because when did those Golden Collections come out? 20 years ago? More? It's like, it's a long time ago. Like I was a youngster.
I was an infant. Strom wasn't even born.
I was your age when that shit came out.
I'm trying
you
to
my age. Oh. Aren't you like 57?
I'm 57. So, if they came out 21 years ago, it was.
You would have been 37.
36. Okay.
36. Yeah, that's 10 years older than me.
Okay, but getting close. So anyway, what came out when I was in? How old are you, Camden? Come on.
I'm 23.
Okay. What? 1990. What came out? Well, I know. Well, that's when Ren and Stimpy came out, and The Simpsons, and all that stuff. So all that stuff, I was like gaga for all, because it was all coming out at once. And I said, "Wow, this is a real renaissance." Now this is the stuff that Milton Knight says it wasn't a golden age. It's like
I love Milton Knight a lot.
The problem is that there was like 20 years of shit. I mean, really, from 70 to 90. There's like 20 years of shit with some small bright points here and there. But, it's like...
Strom! Yeah. Strom, really? I'm sorry, Mark, but Strom sent text with me something that was so funny.
What?
I sent Strom, show that on camera, please.
I sent tonight on Jeopardy, this figure in the animation industry is responsible for more unforgivable acts than all notable figures combined.
That's not me, is it?
Who is John Kay?
but you know what's weird though about John Kay though? It was also got weirder though when you re-listen to it and you have Eddie Fitzgerald and John Kay is I remember Milton Knight and I were talking about this about the commentaries and about Eddie Fitzgerald just keeps talking about Olive's feet the whole time. It's like it's Eddie Fitzgerald's foot fetish hour the whole time, and
it's all these weird things like that. So, but I still listen to all of them. It's just as funny. Everyone had their stuff.
Barry Family trivia for $400.
And I'll admit, on my own commentaries, I have my own style because I had to write them and produce them. These are the ones for the Kino Lorber. So, I did them kind of in a similar format, but I did that on purpose just to get them out of the way. It's like if I'm just sitting there kind of going it's not going to work.
I like the best about from you? You know what the commentary I like the best from you? You learn a lot from? Is I like the one you did for like the Star, whatever the Space Pink Panther one is.
Star Pink?
Star Pink?
I might even have it.
You just
right
talked
here.
About the Patty Freeling of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big Star Wars buff, so I knew none of this. So that was really informative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, The unfortunately you have to get the original unremastered unepisode 4 Star Wars that had the original special effects because they've all been remastered and made the special editions and everything's a New Hope and everything. But if you go back
which is why the documentary The People versus George Lucas came out, isn't it?
I don't know, but I mean that's I, you know, it's just frustrating to me as a first generation fan for Star Wars that they can't, at least as a bonus feature, put the original version of Star Wars on somewhere on Blu-ray, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like everything else. It's like, you know, in fact, you know, I've been talking about this to death, you know, this Superman collection, just because I finally got it. This is a Blu-ray collection that has all of them. What I liked about it is it has two versions of Superman the movie and two versions of Superman 2. You know, did it need it all? Well, you know, it's up to debate, you know, but I liked it that it had all the different versions on it. And I was going to say this because we were talking earlier about these Superman cartoons. Where'd my DVD Blu-ray go?
That Blu-ray isn't that good. I would have. I wish we archived it.
This is what I said before you came on the air.
Okay, so I like this. Okay, if you don't like this, they're all on Blu-ray on here with scratches and grain and all the flecks.
I understand.
And everything. You know, so it's like. I told Mark that he would basically be attacked by you for liking the Superman set.
Okay, no, I'll say this: it also was problematic because it was also pricey. $30.
No, I got my
$30. I bought mine for about $13 on eBay.
Yeah, when it was first being sold,
it was like $30.
Well, it was like $35 when it came out.
No, I got it after every bad mouth that came down.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, I only bought mine about two months ago during a blow it out of here on eBay sale for like $13.
I know what happened. This one actually made it into the store because it's not an archive. So it was at Barnes & Noble. They had it on sale. And I said, you know, how bad could it be? I love these cartoons, you know, because everybody's bad-mouthing it. And I go, I love this. And it has a new documentary.
You know what, actually,
the creepiest thing is what Camden pointed out is that Superman's eyes look kind of weird. You know,
packaging is bad. And I have to say, that's
with all the non-Popeyes.
Yeah.
Except for the Popeyes and two of the Averys, they all have really bad packaging.
I think it's the worst packaging of all sets, though.
Camden, you could design a better package. You could take stock images. You can't draw. You could take stock images and make it look a little better.
Actually, I probably
have. You know what I think is bad? Look at the back of that Woody Woodpecker set, Mark. Show us the back of that Woody Woodpecker set. Look how shitty the shows is. Why would you choose that for your back of your package?
Well,
you're just
I don't like stock art.
Those aren't even stocks from the films. Those are just random pictures that they have.
25 classic, and it just has them like in a big bunch here. You don't even know what the titles are unless you're knowledgeable about this stuff.
Look at the pictures of them playing. Those aren't even cartoons.
Yeah.
Those aren't even actual cartoons. Those are just stock photos of Woody Woodpecker.
Hey, it's that Barry family picture that you show. Anyway, you want to know here's the worst Blu-ray ever released of cartoons.
Marley, Mark, you're running into something that you probably the Beanie and Cecil sets.
Oh, yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. Okay. We'll end on this on Blu-ray soon. This is the worst Blu-ray ever put out. I don't know why I still haven't. I should buy the Steve Stanfield upgrade. This one.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were going to show
something. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is the worst Blu-ray ever.
I have to say.
Yeah.
Even more than the chopped up Toby the Pups.
Yeah. The only reason I have it, it was like $2. And I wanted to see how bad it really was. It is that bad. So it's like, yeah.
Okay. It was $2. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's $2, I totally get it too.
Yeah.
Steve's is a very nice package. It also has a bunch of bonuses.
Yeah. So
you know what I would like
I do
to have upgraded,
it.
Mark?
I do
you
get
and I
it.
Were discussing this. I'd love to have this upgraded. They have all the other Ray Harryhausen stuff from Indicator upgraded. Mm-hmm. They keep putting out new Blu-ray sets, and I'm like, why don't you guys put out? Because the Harryhausen Foundation did these awesome audio commentaries with like Ray and Caroline Monroe for what Golden Voyage of Sinbad, right?
Right.
And I'm like, why don't you guys put that stuff out? Why? But they don't do it. And like Warner Brothers,
well, at least you
Warner
have that.
They have also this great commentary with Vanessa Harryhausen, and Ray, who are. Valley Guanji. Get Warner Brothers. They keep telling him, hey, you can have this commentary out. You can just, we'll give it to you. The Warner Brothers doesn't want anything to do with them. Why?
I don't know. Okay, Beanie and Cecil.
Yeah, what is your problem with that DVD set? It was like the first DVD set about cartoons ever
It's
made.
great, except it isn't complete.
Oh, well, yeah, well, yeah, well, no shit.
That's
No
like
shit, Sherlock.
that's like the Alvin Show Blu-ray, you know. It's like it's
Oh,
great, but it
God,
isn't
yeah.
complete. You know, it's
What is
like
it? What is, by the way, Mark, isn't there a rumor about the Alvin Show that I heard this? Mark, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I told Strum this the other day. Is well, the rumor I heard was that Bagdasarian Jr. didn't want the complete Alvin Show on Blu-ray because he didn't get any money off of it.
Pretty much
Yes.
true. That's pretty much true, yeah.
He did. He
What the heck
tested
is with
it,
the
let
bag?
quite a few of them out, and it didn't sell that well.
Well, Mark, what is the hell is with the Bagdasarian Jr. compared to Bagdasarian Sr.? Why is he such considered such a jerk?
Well, a lot of people blame his wife. I don't know if I'm not going to go there, but you know, the people do. So, you know, it's like
This is a good
Janice,
topic
yeah.
for after.
But
Yeah.
you know, here's the situation, and it's covered in my book. Ross Senior, the original guy, did like a lot of people did back in the day. You know, this is like 1968. I don't know if you're a Beach Boys fan at all, but the dad figured, oh, this surfing music craze, it's run its course, and they were starting to not have number one hits. So he sold the music publishing rights to their records, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, out from under them in 1968. Well, Ross Bagdasarian, he wasn't ripping, you know, other people off. He had the rights himself, but around that same time in 1968, rather than give them to his kids, but I think he actually did offer it, and they were not interested at that time. Sold everything, lock, stock, and barrel, to Liberty Records, which eventually is went through changes of hands, capital EMI, and now is UME or whatever, Universal Music. But so anything that has those original music tracks, all the royalties and everything don't go to the Bagdasarians. So there's not a monetary incentive for them to put it out. But the thing that's really odd about the Bagdasarians is they don't put out the 1980s Alvin and the Chipmunks series either, or Chipmunks Go to the Movies, or you know, the only thing that's out currently, you can get the four feature films, and you can, I think, get, well, you can get piecemeal compilations of like two or three cartoons, but you know, so they don't even treat their own things with any sort of respect, and all the albums are out of print, so I don't know their deal there either.
In
So
my
it's like,
opinion, the Alvin cartoons aren't even the best part about that show. It's always Clyde Crashcup.
yeah, well, they'll never put out a separate Clyde Crash Cup set. That, you know, it just won't happen because, you know, it's the ownership thing. So, I mean, if you or I owned it, we would, you know, we'd probably piecemeal it out. You know, you market that the any way you
Yeah, this is
can,
this is
you
why
know.
this is why I told Curtis Finley when I talked to him, I'm like, this is why I could never have your job. Because I would make this whole company go broke within 10 minutes, because I would just release everything. Just spend all my money releasing all the Dick Tracys, all do all the rest of Beetle Baileys, do all the
No,
rest
there's
of the
nothing
Archie
wrong with that.
Comics.
I would do that too. I mean, it's like I've always said, if I owned any one of these companies, I would be scanning the vaults. I always use this as an example. I'm not saying it's the best example, but if, you know, if I was a different studio that didn't have Marilyn Monroe, let's say, or John Wayne or something, but there was like a cameo in this film or a bit part in this film, whatever, it would be out in the most pristine thing with saying early appearance of Marilyn Monroe.
I would get
Yeah.
fired if I went to Viacom and asked them to go do Terry Tunes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if I, you know,
Yeah,
the
I
main
would
thing.
get fired
Okay,
because
I
I
will
would get
talk about
fired.
more about that, but that's a situation that I think is best covered privately.
Well, I want to
Yeah.
say this about the Terry Toons. If it, when they put them out, the one time they did put them out, on the 12-inch, I don't know, did they ever come out on Laserdisc? They never came out.
They
No, they
did
came
a
out on
few bonus
CD, I
cartoons on
think.
the Bakshi series. They did a few
Okay.
Mighty Mouses.
Okay, but they never did a 12-inch laser disc because there's
They
that
made
other type of.
Laserdisc copies, but I don't think they actually
Okay,
issued
because
them.
they did do a couple of collections on that laser disc, one that you'd drive it in through the drawer, the
CED.
RCA Selective Vision.
CED.
Yeah, the CED one with the needle and everything. And I had those. I don't have them anymore. But
Well, yeah,
they.
CEDs have all suffered from disc
Yeah,
rot by
it's
now,
like, and I
okay?
got rid of them because I'm never going to play these, even if it has stuff that I can't get anywhere else. So I got rid of all of it. But my mom was the one who bought it, and even my dad said at the time, "This is the worst technology ever. It has a needle. You know, everything else has a laser." Anyway, so, but, you know, they put it out there, and then they put them out on the probably the cheapest VHS tapes you could possibly get. And I remember when those all came out, and I said, man, if this they put this out in like an quality VHS, I'd buy this collection. So I didn't buy any of those either. And then the technology went to DVD and nothing. And it's like,
well, I have to say is,
if they're going by past sales and everything, well, you put it out wrong in every format so far. Why not do it right now? Yes, they did put out a few Mighty Mouses on the Ralph Bakshi Mighty Mouse collection. And that I apparently was like pulling teeth to get those out, strangely enough. But it seems like that they could do a collection at least as good as this for Terrytoons. You know, they don't have to put every single one. You know,
but I have to say one thing. The legacy of how we can find Terrytoons is one name, Devin Baxter.
And explain.
And Charlie
Junkins. I've heard his name. But
oh, yeah. And Charlie Junkins. Thank you. Yes. The Terrytoons Facebook page, a YouTube channel, which basically has every Terrytoon available.
Yeah.
But if you really want Terrytoon sets, just bootleg them all and put them on.
Oh, I know. I know. Those. I mean, that's
or how much. Or just buy Jerry Beck sets that he makes.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah.
I can say that Junkins knows a hell of a lot more about the guys who worked at Terrytoons than anyone else. And
yeah.
Most,
yeah,
I'm in a deep ode of debt to him because he's told me so much about those. Like,
I want Charlie or Milton Knight or someone like that to write a Terrytoons book that betters the one published by.
I've been asked to do a Terrytoons book, and I'm not going to.
Published by the school that employs me, by the way.
Okay, you both talked at the same time. I'm like, what?
You finished that.
I just trashed Terrytoons book published by the school that employs me, I go to.
Oh, is that that blue one that has the little?
The
columns?
Indiana University Press published. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
That's I don't. Where that I came like from. The book. I hate the way it's laid out.
I hate the way it's laid out.
I'll say I've been asked to do a Terrytoons book by a few friends, but I would rather do a few other topics before I did that, and also because of the interest of other people.
Yeah.
I think Charlie Junkins wants to do it, doesn't he?
He wants to do a general New York history.
Yeah, I'd love for him to do that. I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
Well, Strum, can you disclose this? So you said, I would rather do other things than this.
I said it earlier, I believe.
He already told you.
A book on the transition to sound and animation.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. That's it? Okay.
But currently, I have not written a damn thing other than some small notes on...
Okay.
On transitional marks and what would become standard in sound animation, but it is mostly
that thing Jerry Beck said.
It is that thing Jerry Beck told me.
By the way, Mark, I got a quick question for you. Mark, this is a question for only you, and only you if anyone can answer. So do you remember when Jerry's Looney Tunes Merry Melodies book came out?
Early 90s
with Wilfred Bold.
The original version is like in the 80s, but the late 80s, and then the I think it was 1990. Yeah,
the original version,
Late 80s,
did you buy it when it came out? Do you remember it?
No, I bought the paperback first. I got the hardback later.
I was wondering, I have all three versions of it. I don't know why I don't need all three versions. Like, I have two versions on my shelf in my dorm, in my apartment.
Anyway,
do you remember when Jerry and Will were going to write an MGM book of the same format? Because I was reading some old... Because I don't know if you've heard about Quack.info. And I think... Actually, no, you heard about it. Didn't you recently give them your Harveyville Fun Times
I haven't done it. I haven't done it yet. I want to. Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Which my comics readers class loves that thing. I just helped my whole... comic book reader's class to take. But so I was searching up, I searched up Will Friedwald because I thought that'd be a screw. And it says Will Friedwald and Jerry Beck. And it repeatedly will talk about Collins with the upcoming book, The MGM Cartoons by Jerry and Will.
Yeah. Well, I
do
think.
Do you remember any of that being in the works? Well, I know there are tons of books coming out, like your Sutherland book that never happened. There are tons of books. Jerry Beck told me 85% of books never happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what happened was after the Warner Brothers one was a success, it was their goal to do it for all the studios. But it's like, I can't say Jerry and Will are not they're not enemies. They just don't work together like they did. You know, it's
they work together a lot more.
The time has passed,
so
it's like, you know, Jerry doesn't even write books anymore. So it's like,
Jerry and Will went straight to do two other projects with each other. They did the Looney Tunes CD sets together.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that was their last project was that book. I'm just saying that, you know, it was just one of many things that they talked about and then never got done, and then they stopped working together, you know, for whatever reasons. I don't think it was because they're bitter enemies. I think they just got different interests. I think Will went on into the music industry, and, you know, Jerry, of course, stayed in animation, and
Another thing I need to buy. I need to buy those. That's another set I need to buy. I need to buy those Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. You know, like Greg Ford does a Bob Hope commentary on on Road to Bali with Greg, with Will.
Yeah, I haven't heard it, but yes.
I need to buy that.
So, but it's like the thing that's kind of stopped all of us. It hasn't stopped me. That's why I keep writing things. I'm still working on my TV animation. The Time Forgot book, and I'll talk about it if you have any questions about it. But if, you know, as the internet has gotten more and more robust, a lot of ideas that once were considered valid and viable and could make money, you know, kind of went away. And it takes a dedicated person who doesn't care about making big profits to continue on with a project
that arguably
is readily available on the internet. You know, it's like, Mark, it's not really, but you know what I mean? It's like,
Mark, when has a single book on animation or filmmaking in general ever made money? This is not a money, nonfiction writing is not a money.
I think
an autobiography.
Unless you're writing
money,
about World War II, unless you're writing about World War II conspiracy theories, you are not making money writing nonfiction.
You are making money if you write an autobiography and you're a really famous filmmaker, but that's it.
But I mean, Mice and Magic must have made some money.
Mice and Magic couldn't have bought Leonard Maltin even a car.
Well, it must have made some money because it came out in three editions. So it's like, has something to do with it.
Popular demand by a very small audience.
I admit the audience in 1980 was a fraction of what it is now, and now it's not that big. So it's like,
how much money you think you've made? You don't have to say the amount if you don't want to. How much money do you think you made from your total television book?
I'll put it this way: it wasn't worth my time to do it.
What?
I wasn't making minimum wage, I'll put it that way. You know, it wasn't worth my time to do it. If minimum wage, we'll use real minimum wage. Federal minimum wage currently is $7.50 an hour. I don't think I've been reimbursed $7.50 an hour for the year or two that it took to make that book. You know, working on it, you know, pretty much full time, you know, for a 2-year period, you know. So if that answers your question
that's the one book of yours that we were talking about, that's the one book of yours that seems that everyone is a fan of, your total television book. That seems to be a favorite.
That or
Tim Hollis and I were talking about it, and he said that's the book that he likes of yours.
Well, in the animation books, my most successful one has been surpassed by the Monkees books, but
But it seems that everyone likes
over that.
But it seems that's the one book of yours that I'd love to see an updated version of too.
Well, that's what
I'd love to see an updated version of the Chipmunks book, because I've said you told you this before. Yeah. I think there are flaws with the Chipmunks book.
Well, okay, it was a big gamble to do the Chipmunks book in the first place, because, you know, everybody told me all the horror stories about the Bagdasarians. At any moment, they still could do something to get me to pull that book off the shelf. I mean, it has been pulled off. Like I have a t-shirt site on, you know, whatever it is. I should know this. So
T Public.
Yeah. And any Chipmunk pictures I've ever used have been pulled. I somehow managed to keep up Harvey character pictures, but any Disney pictures, even the cover to Frozen in Ice, which has three circles of ice vaguely.
That's the other Mickey Mouse. They
made me take that down. You know,
that's
like
the other book I discussed. I've mentioned I'm not a huge fan of, but.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you have to have grown up in that era, because anybody who likes that book grew up in that era. You know, it's like,
I still think that Robin Hood is Disney's worst film.
If you grew up after 1989, you have all the good cartoons that came out after 1989 to look at. You don't have to look at the crap of the 60s and 70s. But I grew up in the 60s and 70s. That's the crap that I grew up with. You know, so
I love the 60s Disney films.
Yeah.
It's just I hate Robin Hood. I think Robin Hood is the lousiest Disney film ever produced. Yeah.
Well, I'll agree.
Fat lie. There's a lot worse Disney films.
I don't know what your definition of nostalgia. You love to say nostalgia is a disease. I don't think I have nostalgia in the sense of, oh, I want to return to 1973 because it's so great. No, all I have is a fondness for things that came out when I was a kid that I go, hey, that's familiar. But if I'm going to have nostalgia for anything, my nostalgia is more like you do, you know, stuff from the 1930s and stuff, you know, 1940s. You know, I have nostalgia for stuff that came out before I was born. So it's like,
you know, my problem with nostalgia is people who think that, oh, wow, let's go back to the 60s when I guess there was wicked cool music. I'm referring to the meme that I love Michael Ventura's post on. I adore that post so much. That was awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Peabody and Sherman.
Oh my God. That post he did was awesome. That whole rant about why you people are the most insincere human beings in the world. That was awesome.
I mean, I can go back to 1973 and I can, you know, let's say 74 to make it 50 years ago. So 1974, you know, it was a pretty cool year. I was in second grade. But we were still in the midst of that Watergate shit. We didn't know it was going to end. We thought that the presidency is kind of like now with Trump, but you know, it's like even worse because the guy actually was president at the time and we didn't know if the country was going to go down the tubes. We were still in the Vietnam War in 1974. Prices were going up, you know,
there was no internet.
You know,
you can't say that's a good thing.
Positive things is, that's when I started reading Mad Magazine. I would kill to have Mad Magazine be new material every issue again. But, you know, it's like, that's not a nostalgia thing. That's just wanting new material. You know, it's like, I want it to be about current subjects, not 1974. Mm-hmm. 1974 was an odd year. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't love it. You know, it's like, and I don't know if I'd want to go back to it even for a day, you know. Jack Benny died that year at the end of the year. I remember that, you know, it's like, and it kind of sucked because he was so omnipresent. And even though 80 is considered older, I didn't think he was that old. I said he could have made it to like 90 or 100. That's what was my thought.
He was 80. I thought he was 39.
I hate to break it, but it's been 2 hours and I'm starting to really lose focus.
Okay. All right. I'm not even timing it on this one. I just figured we'd be rambling. So
I know. I had a good time though. I really did.
All right. Do you have any final thoughts or do you want to do one last promotion before we go? Anything quick?
No.
Okay. I don't think so. No. Actually, if anyone here is listening, maybe get this because it would support someone I like.
Okay. And how do they get a hold of that?
They can get a hold of it on Amazon.
Okay. All right. And Camden, anything you have to promote?
I'll promote my articles now written for the Lily Library, the library I work at.
Okay.
Hey Lily, I wrote about Disney pop-up books, and I'm writing one right now about the 1955 King Feature Syndicate yearbooks.
Ooh. All right, and then I'll do a quick promotion for what I'm doing. I'm still working on the TV animation, The Time Forgot, TV cartoons, The Time Forgot, I don't know what I'm going to call it, and that's a slow project because right now, I'm doing the indexing for Unconditionally Mad, and I'm also doing promotion for my recent Turtles book. So that's about the music group, the Turtles, not Ninja Turtles, for you youngsters out there. The Happy Together Turtles. Anyway, so that's where I'm at. So anyway, well, it was a pleasure having both of you as guests. We got to do it again sometime. If you have any cool animation news that you think we should do the show right away, let me know, and we'll get you back on. And this is Mark Arnold for another episode of the Fun Ideas Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening, and thank you, Camden Spees and Strum, for being my special guests. Remember, you can always watch the video version of this episode on YouTube. Episode number 252 will be coming soon. If you would like to comment and or be a guest on this podcast, please drop me a line at funideas.mark@gmail.com. Become a patron of Mark Arnold and Fun Ideas Productions. If everyone listening just contributed $1 a month, that would be a tremendous help in continuing the production of my books and this podcast. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel. The opening and closing music for the Fun Ideas podcast is provided courtesy of Andrew the Slow Poisoner Goldfarb and is used with permission. This has been the Fun Ideas podcast. This is Mark Arnold speaking. This episode is copyright 2024. Fun Ideas Productions. Thank you and good night.